I'm sorry. Still. Yeah, still precious. Precious. All right, so we're continuing this morning. Page Kuf Mem Zayin in the red edition. Perek Yud Gimel, still in the chapter of precious. So Ram Chal continues. Klal Adover. He says the general principle, the general rule is. Kevon Shekhol Inyone Ha'olam Einam Ela Sakhana Satsumos. So remember, Bose, in this Klala Precious, what Ramchal is discussing is the idea that a person has to be able to distance themselves even from those things that are technically permitted in order to create a boundary so that one does not transgress. So the Klal to remember is that since all of the Inyonim in this world are Sakhanos, meaning that at the end of the day, materialism or material pleasures pose a danger. Now listen, I want to be clear as to what this means. Remember, he's not saying, therefore, that material pleasures or material things are bad. What he's saying is just recognize that everything in this world, everything material in this world, ultimately could potentially pose a risk, could pose a danger. Therefore, Eich lo yeshubach mi sheyirtzeli malik mehem, umi sheyar b'lahayachik mehem. Therefore, again, it goes without saying that someone who chooses to distance himself from them, or someone who chooses to create limalik, literally means to run away. Of course, such a person like that is praiseworthy. Zeu inyan aprishas hatov. And above said, this is the element, or this is the essence of good separation. Shelo yikach min ha'olam bishum shimush u'mishtamish mimenu. Elamashu mukhrach bo mipnei atzorach asher lo b'tiv o elav. So as it says, Ramchal, the correct relationship to our materialism is that a person should take, ultimately again, what he needs. And what he needs, by the way, asher lo b'tivo elav, according to his nature. Listen, this is also something very interesting, which is that some people, by definition, need certain creature comforts, others do not. So if a person needs it, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it for a person to have it. A person doesn't need it, so then ultimately, again, it's better for a person to do without it. This is what Rebbe, so we had this, he quoted this earlier, the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos. This is what Rebbe praised, literally, Rebbe praised himself at the moment of his death by saying, Shelo nehenem min ha'olam hazeh filo be'etzpa, e'be'etzpa kitano, that I do not benefit from this world even with my small finger. Im heyoso nesi Yisrael, v'shulchano shulchan melochim, behechrach likar nesi uso, u'kima amorim zechornam levracha, shnei goyim bevet nech, ze Rebbe ve'antoninos, So Rebbe said that Rebbe praised himself by saying that I never went ahead and really derived pleasure from this world, even with my pinky finger. Now, of course, the novelty over here is that Rebbe was the Nasi, Rebbe was the leader of the Jewish people, and as such, of course, he had incredible access to all types of material wealth. And in fact, he goes to the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, that's when Rivka Imenu is told that she has two nations in her womb. So the Gemara Darshins that are saying, or the Medrash Darshins that also are saying, Shnei Geim Bevitneich, ultimately two princes. And that refers to Rebbe and Antoninos. Rebbe was royalty. Both of them, again, Antoninos, ultimately being a Greek general, a Greek ruler. So ultimately both of them, never had wealth, never stopped from their table. They always had everything accessible to them. And yet, despite all of that, Rebbe made a conscious decision not to overindulge in the material. The Chizkiyahu, we quoted this earlier, the Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yudah Kmokin. Chizkiyahu is the same thing as we spoke about in the previous chapter. Ushar HaMa'amarim Shezacharti, Kulam Mekaimim Umorim, Shiyesh La'adam Lifrosh Mikoma Shehu Tanug Olami, Leman Lo Yipol B'Sakanasom. And I will say, and everything we've learned up until now teaches us that a person should distance himself from that which is a physical pleasure in order that he not fall prey to its danger. So we'll say, so again, so Klal that Ramchal is ultimately saying is recognize, and this, of course, everybody would agree with this statement, which is materialism poses a risk. Materialism poses a risk. That, I think, we'd all agree with. The difference is that what we'd all agree with is not just materialism by itself, is that overindulgence in materialism poses a risk. But the problem is that line between appropriate usage and overindulgence is often blurred. because what begins as a normative usage can easily morph into overindulgence, and a person ultimately has to know where to draw their line. V'im tishal v'tomar, and if you will say, im kein eifo shezed davar mitztarech u'muchrach, so if you will say that something is necessary, so let's say a person determines that something ultimately, again, that they are benefiting from is indeed necessary. Lama lo gazru alav chachamim, kimo she gazru alasi yagos ve'takaron she gazru. Suppose this is very interesting. So now, if you're going to establish, like the Ramchal wants to, namely, that there is this need to go ahead and create gidarim, there is this need to create boundaries around material and material pleasure. And there's a need to go ahead and say that some things that are really inherently mutter should be usser. So why didn't Chazal legislate that? You know, so we have the concept that Chazal legislate gidar, that Chazal legislate protective fences, right? 3/4 of Hilchos Shabbos is rabbinic prohibitions that are institutionalized in order to prevent us from transgressing and violating the halacha. So if that's the case, if Chazal felt they want us to be so careful with materialism, with material wealth, with material pleasures, and that a person has to distance themselves even from that which is permitted, why didn't the rabbis legislate it? Why didn't the rabbis say, therefore, you may not get pleasure from this, you may not use this, you may not derive benefit from this? So he says, Hinei atshuva mevu'aras upshuta. So the answer is very obvious. It's obvious, straightforward. Kilo gazru chachalim gizera is very interesting. Ela imkin rov hatzibor yicholim la'amavah. In general, Bo says, part of the halachic process, the rabbis cannot legislate the law, or the rabbis do not legislate the law, unless, of course, the majority of the tzibor has the ability to observe it, to withstand it. The ein rov hatzibor yicholim lihios chasidim, avadai lahem sheyihiyu tzadikim. But so this is a very important yisod. Sadam Chal says, the truth is, most people are not capable of being chasidim, but rather, again, it's enough if they'll be tzadikim. Remember, again, we saw in the beginning of the last chapter, what's the chilik between a tzadik and a chasid? So a tzadik is someone who observes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of him. Right? What Halacha asks of me. A chasid is someone who goes above and beyond. So says Sadam Chal something very profound. To legislate precious, meaning to legislate kedoshim tiyu, to legislate that a person should give up things that are mutter in order to go ahead and create kedusha for themselves, that's chasidos. You can't legislate that someone be a chasid. The most you can legislate is what? That someone be a tzaddik. This is so interesting. Therefore, again, if you want to be a chassid, then that's a decision that what? That's a decision that you make on your own. Right? That's a decision that a person ultimately goes ahead and decides for themselves. Achasridim asher ba'am hachafetzim liskos likirvasi isparachu lizakos pizakusam l'chos shar ha'amon hanit lavam. But I will say, those individuals, sridim literally means remnants. Remnants. Those pieces, those individuals who want to go ahead and desire a greater level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and want to go ahead and rise above the rest of the nation. Again, not in a bad way, but they want a higher level of Kiddusha. Lahem magim l'kayim mishnas chasidim, asher lo yochlu yikayim acherim. They should go ahead and uphold, literally, the laws of chasidus that others are not able to. Heim sidri apisha sa'ila. These refers to, ultimately, again, the Siddurim. The different orders of precious that we've spoken about. Ki bazeh bachar Hashem. Because ultimately, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Shekeva and she'ef shaluma shetia kula shalma la'achos. It is impossible within a people that everyone occupy the same spiritual level. Ki yesh ba'am madregos. Within every nation, there are different levels. Ish lefi sichlo. Every person according to his seichel. Hine lefachos yichidei skula yinsu. But there will always be those individuals we call Yechidei Skula. Those individuals of unique spiritual characteristic, asher yachinu es atzamam, will prepare themselves, hachone gimura, a true preparation, va'al yidei hamuchanim, yisku gam ha-bilti muchanim, ela ha-vaso yisparach v'ashar shechina. So this is very profound. What Ramchal now says is that even those who are not Hasidim, ultimately again will be uplifted by those who are. Ki'iyan Shadash Zuchana Luracha Ba'arba Minim Shebalulav, as Chazal said, the famous drasha, by the Dalin Minim, by the Lulav, Yavo'u Eilu Ve'ela V'yachapra Leila. Let these come and atone for these. We're supposed to remember again the famous idea that the Dalmin, the Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos all refer to different types of Jews, different types of people. So remember, again, the idea is that the Esrog refers, oh, here, if you look in footnote 80, so he says over here, Pre-Eitz Hadar, Elu Yisra, Ma Esrog Zeh Yeshbo Tambareach, So the Esrog refers to the tzaddikim. Ultimately, again, they have tamvarech, they have a good taste, and they have a good scent. That refers to the tzaddikim. Kapos tamar, which I'll say refers to the lulav. Those refers to individuals who have a taste, but no reyach. Anaf eats avos hadasim. Those refers to individuals who have reyach, but no tam. And arvei nachal, no tam, no reyach. They each represent different types of Jews. But the idea ultimately is that all of them come together, ba'aguda achos, and all of them lift one another up. Yavo elu, v'yechapru al elu. These come to atone for these. Let's finish up this section. Kuf memtes. Ukvar matzono le'ilyo zachor latov, shamar l'rabi Yoshua ben Levi. And Ilyo Hanavi said to Yoshua ben Levi, b'ma'as said du'ula bar koshev, k'she'eshivu v'lo mishnehi, afu amar, Mishnas Chasidim. So we'll say, if you take a look at footnote number 81, he says over here, he says, Ula Bar Kushav, Nitba Ayide HaMalchus L'Mishpat, Sheyesh Bo Chiyuv Misa. So Ula Bar Kushav was ultimately sentenced to death through the monarchy. Baruch Hu Bali Ir Lud, Eitz Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. And he ran away to the city of Lud, to Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Bo anshei chayil hamelech ve'kifu ha-se'er v'amru lahem im ein atem nesunim osolanu nachriv es kol ha'ir. So the soldiers of the king came and they said to the city of Lod, if you don't hand over Ula by Kushav, we're going to come in and destroy the entire city. V'alar Rishu ben Levi elav ufayso she'yistratza liglos es atzmo shelo yistaknu kol b'nei ha'ir biglalo ve'yistratza umasar osolahem. So amazing, so Rabbi Shimon Levi convinces Ula Bar Kashuv that he should go ahead and give himself over in order not to endanger all of the inhabitants of the city. He goes ahead and he says, V'haye Eliyo Zerach HaLatov, Ragil Yisgal Rabbi Shimon Levi, Ume Osa Sha'alo Niskal Eilav. And apparently, Eliyahu HaNavi used to often appear to Rabbi Shimon Levi, but right after this episode, right after this episode, he did not appear to him anymore. Adchis ane kamatanios ukishalabasof niskalilov amarlo vechil misuros ani nigla. So remember, so Eliyahu apparently was unhappy with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was willing to hand over Ula ben Bar Kashuv, and he says, "Do I appear to a moser, to someone who gives over Jews to the authorities? Amar adlo Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi velo mishna asisi. Did I not do that which was correct in halacha? Amar, because again, I'll say the halacha is that if one person is endangering the collective, you give over that individual and save the collective." To which Eliyahu HaNavi said, "Yes, but is that the truly pious approach?" So I'll say the point that Ramchal is making over here is that there are different standards of behaviors, and we see from this particular episode that ultimately there are some individuals who are required to be Hasidim. So I'll say what comes out over here, as we conclude this particular section of the Ramchal, is the Ramchal, and this is really interesting, if separating oneself from that which is certain things which are permitted is so important, then why didn't Chazal legislate it? And the answer is because not everyone is capable of being a chassid. Not everyone is capable of climbing to this higher level of piety. We're all obligated to be tzaddikim. Interestingly, we're all obligated to be righteous. And therefore, we're all obligated to do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of us. But to be chassidim, to go above and beyond, and to go beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, and to even limit that which is permitted to us, that is not simple for most people. There are certain individuals that are called upon to adapt, to accept that level of heightened observance, but for the common person, we're not obligated. But the amazing part is, it is because, ultimately, of the chassidim in our midst, that all of us are uplifted as well. All right, so we'll stop over here. Mir Tashem, continue here tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm